Kerabosa, our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Yishtava refuah Shleim B'korev. The Chofetz Chaim in dealing with the Essen, we dealt with the first one, Zocha Es Asher Osa Hashem LeMiriam. That was the first assay, which one's over when one speaks Lash Lora. And the second one was V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha. Obviously, anybody who is revealing details or speaking harmful things about someone else is not being behind the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha, and he is doing to others what he would not like if it was done to himself. The third one, the Chofetz Chaim says, is Poshut B'tzedek Tishboit HaMisecho. You have a mitzvah D'oraisa, to be don l'chav schus, to look for the schus, and not to immediately jump to conclusions and decide that something is bad. And the Chofetz Chaim says that although sometimes, he says there's obviously a line between being naive, yeah, and being silly about things, and being reasonable. But on the other hand, the Chofetz Chaim says that there are so many occasions, and so many situations, stories that we tell our children, stories that we read about, where somebody who was apparently doing something wrong, there was something bad about someone, yeah, it turned out that there was nothing wrong in the end. There was a terrorist, there was a reason, there was some circumstance which made it mutter for him to do what he was doing, whatever it is. If you see somebody driving a car on Shabbos, yeah, and he's a frumi yid, then you assume he's on Hatzolah. Yeah, there are reasons, but there are many far-fetched reasons as well. Chofetz Chaim says sometimes you find out afterwards, give you a couple of examples tomorrow, probably later, but there are sometimes you find out afterwards that when everybody had decided for sure that the guy did something wrong, and in the end there was 100% good teretz, says the Chofetz Chaim, B'tzedek Tishmet HaMesecho is assay number three, that you have to judge somebody for the good, and even in a far-fetched way, because sometimes the far-fetched dan l'chav schus is actually the truth. Oh yeah, they'll do the announcement. Second, you can stand there. You can stand there, and I'll just make a brief announcement. No, then they'll know who we're talking about. Okay, I've got it. Toway, Northwest London, Wednesday, the Chof Ches Shvat, 7th of February, Rabbi Moshe Friedman Shlita, How to Treat a Ger. This week's Toway has been sponsored by Family Morgan, the Chwe Simchas Abba Mitzvah of Michal Morgan, which was Pashas Yisroy, and as a discuss for all the Shvuyim and all the Chayolim who should come back to Sholem. Korov.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Parshas Mishpatim is like a kid in a candy store. There's so many mitzvahs. So instead of trying to understand all of them, let's try to understand one of them. There is a particular mitzvah, sure, I'll speak a bit louder. There's a particular mitzvah in Mishpatim, which is fascinating to me because it's one of the few mitzvahs in the Torah that has a tam given within the psukim, meaning not every mitzvah, in fact, most mitzvahs, do not have an explicit reason for why you're meant to do the mitzvah. We have certain exceptions, such as, kibud av'eim, so that you should have a long life. But in this week's parsha, we have a mitzvah that has a tam, and yet that's still quite not enough to make it so clear to us why it is that we're doing it. And the reason and the proof in the pudding is that if we look at the Rishonim, there's actually a major dispute about why it is that we do this mitzvah. So even though the Torah tells us and gives us a reason for it, there's still many, many different ways to interpret that reason. The mitzvah in question is in Shmos, Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud. And it's the mitzvah that says, "V'ger lo sona v'lo selachtenu ki gerim ha'yisim be'eretz Mitzrayim." A ger, which is simply translated as a resident alien, somebody who does not come from here, but has chosen to live in Eretz Yisrael, somebody who is seemingly not Jewish, although Chazal in many areas of the Torah darshan ger to mean a ger tzedek as opposed to a ger toshav, it's pretty clear from the from the context of these psukim that we're speaking about a ger toshav. So we have a non-Jew who has accepted upon him or herself the shivas mitzvahs b'nei Noach and is living in Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, a ger, this resident alien, do not oppress them, do not abuse them. Why? Why should you not do this? Ki gerim ha'isim be'eretz Yisrael. Because you were sojourners. You were once resident aliens in the land of Israel. In the land of Mitzrayim. Okay. So what's the simple understanding of the reason for why we don't oppress the stranger? I would offer, and I've asked several people this question. How do you simply understand the pasuk? What does it mean? Why should you not oppress somebody who is a minority group, somebody who isn't part of the majority culture of your area? Why would you not oppress them? Because you know what it's like. You know what it felt like. You were once on the receiving end of that abuse and that oppression, and therefore you shouldn't do it to them. Now what we'll find is that this is but one of several ways of interpreting the Tom, the reason for this mitzvah. And I think that if we take a bit of a deep dive, it will give us a beautiful, multifaceted way of appreciating the reason for why we are meant to treat these types of people in our society in a mechubad way. So the first person I want to go to is Rashi.
I'll be allowed to ask, why does the Torah assume that we're going to do this in the first place? It's always puzzles me.
So that's a fascinating... So your question is, why does the Torah assume that we would oppress somebody? So I'll give you an answer. I think it's pretty much human nature that human beings look to scapegoat and look to exclude people who are not like us, right? You could even say from a very deep psychological perspective, there's a lot of studies that show that even children, very, very young children, will have a preference for other human beings that look like them. So yeah, on a very, very deep level, we psychologically prefer the in-group. We prefer people who are like us. So it's possible that, now, we may not want to, we may not have active feelings of oppression, like I want to, you know, kick somebody who's a minority, but it may be that the Torah is actually suggesting that I have to go out of my way because I simply just have a preference for people who are like me. I may have to actually go out of my way to go over to somebody and treat them better than I would on a standard level. Okay, so Rashi suggests, what does it mean? Ki gerim ha'isim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Im honisu, if you were to taunt him, af hu yachol lehanoscha, he can taunt you back. V'lomer lecha af atam be'gerim basa. And he'll tell you, you know what? You also came from resident aliens. You were also once a minority culture. And then Rashi quotes for us a famous chazal, Mum shebecha al tomer lechavercha. The psul, the blemish that's inside of you, you shouldn't accuse other people of doing the same thing. You shouldn't be a hypocrite. That's essentially what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying, and that, by the way, I believe this is not like the simple understanding of the pasuk. The simple understanding of the pasuk is, you know what it feels like. Rashi is saying, no, you're going to be a hypocrite. It's bad midos to call somebody else out on something that they have when you have the same thing. So Rashi, number one, says, bad midos. Ki gerim ha'isim be'eretz Yisrael, you have the same chisaron that they do. You know, it's so funny. It's so interesting. It often happens to be that the most recent immigrants to a country are the most anti-immigration. It's an incredible thing. But it just goes to show that as soon as we very quickly forget where we used to be, whatever position, whatever situation we used to be on, we often, we almost just like that say, okay, well, now I'm part of the in-group, so now I get to bully the people who are in the out-group. Okay, Rashi, that's number one. Ibn Ezra, number two. I think the Ibn Ezra is going to say the simpler pshat. Ibn Ezra, first of all, gives a... He gives a... Um, a tanai. He gives a condition to this mitzvah. He says, you have to pay attention to the pasuk. The pasuk says, Viger lo sona velo silech tzena. It starts with a vav, which means that it's an addition to whatever was coming before it. Zevach lelokim yecharim bilti lashem levado. That's pasuk tes. Anybody who gives, zevach lelohim, that's not using Hashem's name. Anybody who gives sacrifices to idolatry, that person has to be condemned only to Hashem himself. And then it says, Viger lo sona velo silech tzena. Which causes Ibn Ezra to say, Ka'asher yikabel hager shelo la'avod avodas kochavim. When the ger accepts upon himself not to do avodah zarah, that's a very big conditional, because we know that when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they were implored over and over and over again that you cannot tolerate any avodah zarah. And I think that there's a deeper message here that specifically has to do with how we treat gerim, and our monotheistic beliefs, but I'll come back to that later. When a ger accepts upon himself not to worship idolatry, therefore he's permitted to stay, then lo tsonehu ba'artzecha, don't oppress him in your land. Ba'avur sheish lecha koach rav mimenu, just because you're in power, just because you're more powerful than he is, v'zachar ki gerim ha'isim kamohu, remember that you used to be on the receiving end. You used to be aliens just like he is today. So the Ibn Ezra is essentially saying, okay, today you're on top, tomorrow you may not be. You knew what it was like yesterday not to be in that position of power. You have to have empathy for that person, for that individual. So it's a very simple, in my understanding, you can, by the way, feel free to argue. In my understanding, I think the Ibn Ezra is saying very, very pashut pshat, which is, have empathy. You know what it was like. You know what it was like to be somebody who was powerless in a society that was not your own. And the people who were in power, they weren't superior to you. They weren't any better than you. All they had was the fact that they were looking for a scapegoat, somebody to beat up on. Okay. So Rashi, number one, says, Mum shebecha al posel lechavercha. Don't criticize or don't attack somebody else for something that you also possess. And the Ibn Ezra is saying, simply, you were once Gerim, you have to have rachamim on somebody because you know what it feels like. Ramban addresses both of them and argues on both of them. Ramban says, Lo huchshu kol ha-gerim ba'avor hi yosenu gerim be'eretz zman. He says, who says that every stranger is not worthy of oppression? Just because we were once depressed. Once we were oppressed. This is a fascinating question. The Ramban challenges the very notion. He says, what, you think this is basic morality, that you don't oppress people? You have to remember, back in the times of Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, and even in the Torah, the idea of a caste system, of a class system within society, was totally accepted. You're right, there's first-class citizens, second-class citizens. Who says that it's not a good idea for people who are not like you, people who are not Jewish, people who do not share necessarily your values, who says that they should be given full rights within your society? Who says they should be looked at as an equal? Maybe they should be put in their place a little bit. Just because we were once oppressed? Yeah, that was a totally unfair oppression. That was injustice to a T. But maybe there's a just form of sona es ager. It's an amazing thing. The Ramban challenges our very assumptions that it's obvious morality that we should be treating every stranger equally. The Ramban says, I don't buy it. Lo huchshu kol agerim ba'avor hi yosenu gerim be'eretz zman. Just because we were oppressed once, that means now every ger is a kosher person? Be'ein tam shiyu muvtach la'olam ba'avor kein. And it's not there's no reason that they should be guaranteed that just because we were once oppressed. Upirish Rashi. So Rashi, he goes into Rashi's explanation. He says, he basically says Rashi's explanation, which is that you were mum shebecha al tomer lechavercha. Then he quotes Ibn Ezra's explanation, zachor ki gerim ha'isim kamohu. And he answers, he waves them both away. Ein b'kol zeh tam be'ikar. This cannot be the real reason why we don't oppress strangers. He says, first of all, just because we were once oppressed, therefore we don't. He's relying on the same assumption that we're saying over and over again, which is the Ramban rejects the idea that it's so obvious that we should not put people in their place, that there should not be some differentiation or distinction within society. So what's his answer? V'hanachon bi'enai. Ki yomar, lo sona ger v'lo selach tzena. Why not? V'techshu she'en lo matzil miyadcha. Don't think that there's going to be nobody to save them. Don't think that nobody's listening, that they're powerless before you. Ki ata yadata shehayisim gerim be'eretz Mitzrayim. You remember what it was like to be gerim. You remember what happened when you were gerim in Mitzrayim. V'raisi es halachatz asher Mitzrayim lochzim eschem. Now this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking. I've seen the oppression that the Mitzrayim were oppressing you with. V'asisi behem nekama, and I took revenge on them. Ki ani roe dim'as ha'ashukim, because I see the tears of those who were bent low. Asher ein lehem menachem, who have no consolation. U'miyad oshkeim koyach. And from the people who are oppressing them. Ani matzil kol adam. I save everyone. Miyad chazak mimenu. From a stronger hand than them. V'cheina almana v'hayasom. We see this with the widow and the orphan. Lo sa'anu ki eshmat sa'akasam. Don't oppress them because I hear their cries. Now this is the key. This is the key. The Ramban is saying that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I stand on the side of the oppressed. And now he's going to tell us something unbelievable. He says it doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. It doesn't matter if they're zoche or not. Listen to this. Shekol eila enem botchim benafsham. These people don't trust. They don't have anything else to be secure in. They have nowhere else to turn. Ve'alai yivtechu. They'll turn to me. Ve'pasak ha'achar hosif tam. And there's another pasuk that adds a reason. V'atem yadatem es nefesh ager. You know what it's like to be a ger. Ki gerim ha'isim be'eretz Mitzrayim. You were like them. Kolomer yadatem ki kol ger. Nafsho shefala. Every ger, their spirit is so low. They are so desperate. V'hu ne'enach v'tzoch v'einav tamid el Hashem. And because of that, their cry to Hashem is absolutely genuine. V'yorachim alav kasha rachim aleichem, and Hashem will have compassion on them just like he was compassionate to you. Kamosha kasav v'yanchu b'nei Yisrael esa avoda. The b'nei Yisrael cried out because of the work. V'yitzaku v'tal shavasam, and their cries went up. Ela elokim mina avoda kolomar lo b'schusam. Not because they deserved it. And we know this. We know that b'nei Yisrael, they were on the 49th level of Tumah. They were doing every single type of Avera. He says, it wasn't their schus. Rak sherachim aleihem mina avoda. The only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers them is because they're crying out so passionately and so desperately. They have nowhere else to turn. And the Ramban repeats this later on in Mishpatim when he talks about the Almana and the Yasom. The reason why it's so dangerous to attack the Almana and the Yasom is because they have nowhere else to turn. Our tefillas are only as powerful as we think they are. And if we're relying on our backup plan, it's okay. Look, you know, if the Israelis can't defend themselves, at least the United States will take care of us. If we're really backed into a corner so badly that we know there is no plan B, then the tefillah is a good tefillah. Ramban is telling us that the reason why we don't oppress the ger is not because they deserve it. It's not because we should have compassion on them. It's not because it's hypocritical. You know why? It's dangerous. It's dangerous for you. The tefillah of a ger, somebody who's oppressed, will be heard. That's a scary concept. Okay, now what do we have here? We have Rashi who tells us that the reason why we don't oppress gerim, ki gerim ha'isim be'eretz Mitzrayim, is simply saying, you were once that too, and therefore it's hypocritical of you to criticize somebody else for you are having the same thing. The Ibn Ezra says, You have to remember you were like them. You were like them. What, just because you're in a position of power now, it's any different? Feel what they feel. The Ramban says, don't oppress them, because their tefillahs will be heard and they will be answered. And it will be bad news for you. Now what comes out, we could ask ourselves, what are they arguing on? What are they arguing about? They're really quite, especially Ramban, he says, he says, these are not the real reason. These are not the right answer to me. I don't know. I can't distinguish. These all sound like great answers to me. What are they arguing about? Nira li, it appears to me that Rashi, the Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra are approaching this mitzvah from three different perspectives. In many places, in the Sifrei Maharal, and in many, many other Sefarim, we are told often that the Torah is essentially trying to build us in three different areas of our lives. The Torah is pushing us to develop relationships in three different ways. One is Bein Adam L'Makom, between us and Hashem. One is Bein Adam L'Chavero, between us and other people. And one is Bein Adam L'Atzmo. Right? For example, the world stands on three things. Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. Maharal says, Torah, that's working on yourself. Avoda, me and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's tefillah. And Gemilas Chasadim, that's with other people. So we see this over and over and over and over again. I think that Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban are approaching this mitzvah from each one of three different relationships. Rashi says, bad midos, it's bad for you. Bein Adam La'atzmo, it's not a good thing to do, to oppress other people for the same thing that you have. It's something that you need to work on. Gerim ha'isim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Mum shebecha, there is a psul in you. We're very, very quick as human beings to blame many other people. My 5-year-old son is so good at this. Anytime he does something wrong, right? He says, it's because you didn't get my bag ready this morning. So he's very, very good at blaming other people. Fix yourself first. If you think that the solution to your problems is to blame minorities, you know, the Germans after World War I said, what's the reason why the economy's failing? The Jews. We're very, very good at blaming our problems on other people. Fix yourself. Ibn Ezra, Bein Adam L'Chavero. You have to remember what it felt like. Can you have any amount of rachamim to remember 5 minutes ago of when you were the immigrants on the East End? Do you remember what that felt like? You had nobody to take care of you. There were no social services, right? You relied on the pity of other genteel Londoners who, if they dared to walk into your garment shop to give you a penny. Feel that. Remember what that feels like. And finally, the Ramban. The Ramban says, this is a mitzvah bein adam l'makom. This is about us and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is about the geir and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Remember what Hashem does for people who are oppressed. Amazing. It's an incredible. In other words, none of them are wrong. This is Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Ramban. They're all approaching it from a beautiful, deep, different angle perspective. And it's so amazing that four words, Gerim Ha'isim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, have such nuance that they can be understood in such different ways. So we think the Pasuk is giving us a straightforward, easy way of understanding why we should not oppress the stranger. And the answer is no, it's way, way deeper than that. Now, I want to end with something very beautiful here, because I don't think it's an accident that this Pasuk is connected to the one that's previous to it. The previous Pasuk was Zevach l'Elohim yecharim, bilti l'Hashem levado. Anyone who offers sacrifices to other gods should be excommunicated. Bilti l'Hashem levado, only Hashem. V'ger lo sona, and therefore, and a ger, do not oppress. The Ibn Ezra makes the connection that the ger himself should be mekabel upon himself not to serve idolatry. But I think that there's another message there, which is the message for us. The people who are being commanded, the people who are being told, v'ger lo sona, this is being preceded by being implored not to serve Avodah Zarah. Now, what's the connection between Avodah Zarah and serving and treating the way that we treat a ger? Rav Volbi, in his Sefer, I believe it's Ace Ratzon, a sefer on Elul and the Yamim Narayim, says something amazingly powerful. He says, before the Jewish people came on the scene, everybody was Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Now, we tend to think of idolatry, again, as a Bein Adam L'Makom type of thing, right? You're serving other idols, it's like cheating on Hashem. But we have to appreciate that the difference between polytheism and monotheism is not just what we do in the synagogue or the temple. The difference between polytheism and monotheism is a moral junction. There is a deep, deep ethical difference between the way that we live our lives as monotheists versus polytheists. And Rav Volpe says it like this. In a world of polytheism, we do not believe that the universe is a fundamentally unified place. In a world of polytheism, the gods are all fighting each other all the time. And if you look around at nature, right, you know, you've got tsunamis and you've got thunderstorms and you've got earthquakes, and it does look kind of a chaotic place, especially the state of nature. The lion eats the gazelle. It's not a fun place, the state of nature. So, okay, the world is chaotic. There is a patchwork of forces that are guiding our lives, but there's no one unifying force to it all. The same thing's true with human beings. There's no unifying force to all of humanity. If you're from Athens and you're from Sparta, you guys are basically two different species. You walk into my city as an alien, you have no rights here. You are basically subhuman. Why? Because the whole universe is a whole bunch of different forces and elements, and you worship this god and I worship this god. We're coming from two entirely fundamentally different places. Rav Volpe said that the chiddush of monotheism not only explained to us theologically what's happening in Shemayim, he said it's explaining to us what's happening down here. The fact that the Torah says that we're all made B'Tselem Elohim, that's the basis of all of Western morality. The idea that every human being has a right to life and a right to dignity, that's a Jewish idea. The sense that we're all made B'Tselem Elohim. If you accept upon yourself monotheism, then you're accepting upon yourself that any human being that I encounter is made B'Tselem Elohim, is fundamentally deserving of dignity. Don't sacrifice to Elohim. Only Hashem Levado. Ve'ger lo sona ve'lo selechzena. Because once you realize that there is only one God, then you'll understand why it is that we have an absolute obligation to treat other people, even if they're not like us, in a way that's dignified. As long as they accept upon themselves monotheism as well, right? Because if they're polytheists, then there's no guarantee that they're playing by the same rules as we are. I happen to think that a lot of factions today of people who claim to have a new morality beyond, let's call them Judeo-Christian values, people today who have rejected Western religions and are following other moralities, I happen to think it's a lot closer to polytheism than it is to monotheism. Because these are people who fundamentally emphasize their differences as opposed to their similarities. But we as Jews, want possibly the greatest thing that we've ever done for the rest of the world is introduce the concept of one God to them. Because what it means is that fundamentally, underlying all of our differences, there's something that keeps us similar, that makes us the same. And when a ger comes into our land and agrees to abide by the basic standards of morality that the Torah has set out, we have an obligation to treat them above and beyond the way that other people decide that they treat their minorities, the way that they treat people who are historically oppressed and not like us. Remember what it's like. So I hope this was useful, helpful, inspiring. It's an unbelievable mitzvah, and something that deserves our attention, not just in the beauty of the way in which the Rishonim have explained it, but also in the way that it demands of us to be able to treat other human beings with a respect that is above and beyond what I think natural morality would require. Thank you.
God says that